Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Francisco Amiel hugging Will Raymond, and the Raiders have just punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. Colgate men's basketball 94, Bucknell 80, and the Raiders are romping and stomping their way to the NCAA tournament.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As a play-by-play announcer who has worked for multiple mid-major schools, this is a thrill. Like Eric Malinowski on the Raiders radio network, it's awesome to be able to call a championship game and then move on to the NCAA tournament. So it's cool for everyone involved with the mid-majors, especially the ones that come out of a one-bid league, like the Patriot League that Colgate won as the top seed on its own court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, that meant a fun Selection Sunday experience, and the Raiders got to see their name pop up in the South region against number 2 Tennessee. So 15 seed for Colgate, but the first time in the NCAA tournament going back to the mid-90s. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, we're asking you your methods to filling out your brackets now that it's that time of the year again. So it's our Twizzler Tuesday question. And on Monday afternoon, I had the chance to catch up with Colgate head coach Matt Langel. So really cool story. We're always looking for the Cinderellas. I love it when the schools and the programs don't take it for granted, and Colgate definitely falls into that category. So I wanted to focus on the preparation now these next few days, getting set for the battle with Tennessee. So I started out by asking Coach, how do you cram in all this preparation for the Volunteers?
Yeah, I mean, you rely on the people that you trust to your program, to your student athletes and your staff. So while it's great to be involved in the media and promote our team and everything that we've been able to accomplish, you also find time to watch tape and meet as a staff and try and formulate a game plan because our opponent is really, really talented.
Right. In Tennessee, a team that could have been a one seed had it actually won the SEC championship on Sunday. As for your guys, well, this is the first NCAA tournament appearance for the school going back 20 plus years, which means none of them have ever experienced that. So how much do you feel like these few days of preparation and getting back into a groove can combat the anxiety and the uncertainty?
Yeah, I mean, I think that every kid growing up, and we've got a couple even international guys on our team, this is why they've put in all the long hours and the hard work, is because this has been their dream. They've grown up listening to you and watching One Shining Moment and Selection Sunday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the first round. And so, there's going to be some excitement and some nerves. But what we talk about is what we prepare for all year long is trying to be in the moment and worrying about what you can control and concentrating on your job at hand. And, while it's on a bigger stage against, as talented a team as we will certainly have played all season long, those are still your responsibilities. And I'm lucky to coach intelligent young men who believe in one another and believe in the coaching staff. And so I know that while they're very excited for this opportunity, they'll also be locked in on the details. And at the end of the day, it's a basketball game, and this is what they've grown up doing their whole lives. And while they'll be, extra excited, they'll certainly, hopefully once we get on the floor, we can calm our nerves and play our best.
Well, those moments that you talk about include Selection Sunday. And so you all had that opportunity together with the team and your fans. What was that moment like to be sitting together waiting for your name to pop up? And then you finally see it as a 15 seed in the South region.
Yeah, it was really cool. I had a chance to talk to Coach Dunphy, who's my mentor and my coach, who I worked for 7 years at the University of Pennsylvania in Temple. And their situation was obviously lots different, you know, being one of the last teams in, and you're really just, you know, got your heart in your throat, hoping that you get in. Our situation is fantastic that, you know, our kids have been wearing those championship hats since last Wednesday night when we were able to beat Bucknell at home in the championship. So my personality is kind of stand back and watch. And, you know, we had hundreds of students and townspeople that came to support us on Selection Sunday, you know, filled a big chunk of the stands. And so to watch the joy and excitement and explosion of the crowd and our guys when the name was called and they found out they're going to Columbus, which a lot of people can get to, it's just really a special moment as a coach to, you know, see young people achieve their dreams and that raw emotion that happened.
Coach Matt Langel has his Raiders of Colgate headed to their third NCAA appearance in school history, but the first one since back-to-back bids in 95 and 96. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside your own arena where you watch Selection Sunday, you also had the chance to celebrate Colgate winning the Patriot League championship. I'm always interested to talk to coaches in college basketball and get their opinion about the format. How do you like having the top seed in a league host the game as opposed to being at a neutral site?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer, especially for leagues like ours, you know, the Power Five conferences that pack, you know, NBA-type arenas for their tournaments are a little bit different. But, you know, in a one-bid league, I think you play all season long. And the regular season champion or the teams that finish the best should have slightly, you know, some advantage. So, you know, I do like the idea of a tournament of everybody being at one place. But the reality is I think the regular season gets devalued in that situation. And so for us, in a one bid league, I think there's great value in having the higher seed host the game. You get to play in front of your fans and, you know, it's rewarding for the teams that have put in the best work over the long haul and, you know, heightens their chance to represent the conference in the NCAA tournament.
And by hosting on your own court and winning a championship, then you get the mad storming at center court by the fans, which was really cool. Coach, I read a couple of interviews with some of your guys in which they talked about your start in league play. Win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, to the point at which you were 500. What propelled them to the 11-game win streak and prepared them to win the Patriot League championship? As you look back now, what changed?
Yeah, I don't know if anything changed. You know, we had a great non-league slate where we had great success at home as we ended up doing in the league. And I think we just had a really challenging schedule coming off break. You know, we dropped one to start at the Naval Academy. It's a long trip. It's a tough road trip. And they ended up being a pretty good team. And so we had a tougher schedule at the beginning. And then Jordan Burns, who had 35 points in our championship game and is an all-league performer, he went down with an ankle injury. So, you know, we had to learn to play without him for five games, but that's 2 weeks. And then you're putting him back in the lineup, but you're still trying to figure things out. So I think that the group just kept continuing to grow. And so while the results may not have been where we wanted them to be, they were invested in one another and believed in one another. And I think that ultimately paid off. And, you know, we navigated some obstacles and found a way to win some tough games. And, you know, I think that's just kind of what happened as the season continued. It's just that we were in that tough stretch of the season where, you know, we're fighting to stay above 500 and in the top half of the league.
Okay, except I did see one of your own players say that you're not the same team you were 2 to 3 months ago. So how have you seen them grow since that time?
Exponentially to that question. You know, this group, we're not the same team we were 3 weeks ago. You know, we're not the same team we were 2 weeks ago. I think that's what I've been most proud of this group has been a lot of different guys step up. We have the player of the year. We have two second team all league guys, but we've had some guys come off the bench and make huge plays, be it taking a charge, being it just making a timely 3-point shot or running together a string where they, you know, a guy off the bench has made 3 or 4 threes. So I think that's what has impressed me the most about this group is they've been committed to that process of let's keep getting better, be it on offense, be it on defense, be it just be slightly more efficient or more sharp for that next opportunity. So while we've been on this run, we haven't gotten lost in the magnitude of the run. They've been able to stay focused on the tasks at hand and finding a way to get a little bit better every day.
Colgate head coach Matt Lengel getting his Raiders prepared to take on the second seed Volunteers in the South region on Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Over the course of your 11-game win streak, your team is shooting better than 51% from the field as a group. Obviously, the shots don't fall for every guy every night, but how much does the balance help when you have a bunch of different guys who can command the offense?
Yeah, no, I think it's a big part of our offensive efficiency is that, you know, while we do have a couple guys who lead us in scoring, if the defense is really, you know, desperate to take them away, we've got other options. And not only are there other options, but the group is really willing to identify what's available and have that guy make the shot. And so they're all capable and willing shooters, but they're also, you know, very much aware of what the defense is trying to do, and they're very receptive and responsive to making sure that the open guy gets the shot. And so I think that's what, you know, has allowed us, especially on the offensive end, to, you know, be as good as we've been over this stretch.
You scheduled some major conference teams in your non-conference slate, so you've had some experience against them already this year. But sometimes there's a disparity when it comes to the physical play of mid-majors versus power conference schools. So how do you combat the size as well as the physical nature of a team like Tennessee?
Yeah, certainly the physicality is something that, you know, we haven't been used to. I mean, we played Penn State. They have some physical guys. Syracuse always has an extremely long and athletic and physical team with their style of play. You know, I'm slightly comforted. We're built a little bit different than most teams in our league in that our front court, and I think I heard Coach Barnes mention this maybe when somebody asked him about Colgate early in this process, that, you know, we do go 6'9", 6'9", 6'7", 6'5", with a 6-foot point guard to start our lineup. So, you know, they're a little bit of an undersized SEC team, but they're very physical. And so, you know, that's not something you can replicate in practice, how hard they duck in, how that hard they battle for position. But we're just going to have to rely on the experience of some of our front court guys and, you know, some of those experiences against some of those Power 5 teams that we played back in November and December. And then you've got to adjust. There's certainly going to be an adjustment phase to the game where, you know, you go, whoa, man, I've got to figure it out. I've got to adapt and find a solution if I'm not as big and strong as the guy I'm going against.
We watched Selection Sunday. I did just like you did, Coach. And you see these teams pop up every year, Duke and Virginia and Gonzaga. And for heaven's sakes, UNC has been a number one seed for 17 times in its program history. But for Colgate, who's making just its third appearance, what does it mean to the school, to the program, to reach the big dance, the NCAA tournament?
So we'll certainly find out moving forward. I was sitting with my son watching the selection show last night after everything was done, and he's 9 years old. And that stat that you just said about North Carolina getting 17 number one seeds, he said, Dad, that's 17 number one seeds, not 17 times in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, for us here in Hamilton, New York, and Colgate's a small liberal arts school, you know, 3,000 people in a village of, you know, another 3,000 people, I'm hopeful that it's a really big deal. I'm hopeful that it'll take our program to another level. Just this attention and exposure that nationally, people will be a little bit more aware of how great Colgate University is and what our basketball program has grown into, because, you know, those of us that love this sport, this is a very special time of the year, and we're really proud to represent Colgate University as we move into this tournament.
Tons of excitement this time of the year as Colgate gets ready to face Tennessee, the South region in Columbus, coming up on Friday. You can follow Coach on Twitter at @Matt_Lengel. And I really appreciate a couple of minutes. Can't wait to see how your Raiders do moving forward. Thanks, Coach.
No, thank you very much for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.